Good afternoon. It's 7 minutes past 12 midday. The Man in Line in session on Manx Radio till 1 o'clock. Call 66 13 68. You want to put your point across? You can text on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Here are the test numbers as at 4 o'clock yesterday. The Isle of Man has conducted 34,109 tests. 34,097 have been concluded. 12 people waiting results. 310 people waiting tests at the moment. We're over 100 cases, 106 cases of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man, and two people in hospital with the disease at the moment. On the vaccination dashboard at the moment, it's showing 23,970 vaccinations taken place, of which 15,792 first dose vaccines, 8,178 second dose. We're holding 11,698 doses of vaccine in stock at the moment. That's where we stand. Jerry's with us, first of all. Good afternoon, Jerry.
Yes, good morning, Andy. It's Jerry here from Ronag.
Okay, what's on your mind, Jerry?
Well, I've got 2 points, please, Andy. Where do we start? You know, us construction workers, we're hung out to dry once again. You know, we've got no support if you're self-employed. It's ridiculous. I'm sick of it.
You're self-employed, I take it, Jerry?
Yes, I'm a bricklayer from Ronag, and I've got no support whatsoever from the government. I've been sent out to keep working. I've took the day off today because I'm sick of it. You know, we've got no support whatsoever.
Okay, so what do you mean no support whatsoever?
Just, you know, they still want us to go to work, and it's ridiculous. I'm coming back home. My children have been to school. It's just mixing. It's all out there.
What do you think the government should do then, Jerry?
They should get that Alfred Cannon should get his hand in his pocket and give us money.
For how long, do you think?
Well, however long this goes on for, you know, it's just ridiculous. What do you think about it, Andy?
Well, we can only play the cards that were dealt, Jerry. So, the problem now is it's gone into schools, and a third of the new cases are young people. Now, we never bothered about this before, but obviously it's become an issue. And of course, children mix in households, and the whole thing has been.
Kent variant, you know, they say it spreads 3 times more quicker than the other one. So, you know, we're doomed. We're doomed, Andy.
Well, let's keep our fingers crossed anyway. Jerry, appreciate your point and thanks for calling us today. Here's Howard. Hello, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just something that crossed my mind last night. Looking at your websites, the sea cat's missing and she's probably, and rightfully, gone on her annual maintenance. But if she's gone to Liverpool, the crew that took her across, it'll be a minimum crew, obviously. They won't want all the crew. They would then have to leave the ship, and she's generally in for a fortnight. Are they staying in Liverpool, or did they come straight home by being bussed or otherwise up the Heysham and come back on the ferry?
Well, you would hope, Howard, that bearing in mind what's happened to the steam packet over the past month or so, that they'll be doing everything by the book.
Yes, but viruses don't go by the book. And those people would have to be transported from wherever it went to, and it's normally Liverpool where she goes, and she's there for a fortnight. So the crew would have to go over with it, and then they would have to disembark and travel up through to Heysham and come back on the passenger Ro-Ro. So what has been put in place to ensure that the people were not in contact with staff and crew of the shipyard? And what are the isolation when they get back here on the island?
Well, it's interesting because they've delayed the start of the fast craft season, haven't they?
Yeah, but that's not unexpected because there's nobody there to travel on it, essentially. But the fact that the ship is gone, and she does it every year, no harm in that, she's got to go and do it, to another port, and she's got to have a crew to take it there. What was concerning me was where is that crew now, and when and how did they get back to the Isle of Man? And have they been in contact with any of the staff at the shipyard or any personnel within the office company of the shipyard? And is there a possible contamination? And what isolation have they had to go into to come back onto the island?
Well, that's certainly a question we can ask, and we've asked till we're blue in the face. We've asked the steam packet for all sorts of detail, but unfortunately, chapter and verse is not in their lexicon.
Well, the Ben, she generally goes in for her annual just before TT week, basically. So she's due to go through the same system, and the cargo ship come out, and then the sea cat will be running to take the passengers into Heysham. So we've got another system there whereby this virus, and it's not fussy how it travels, another method of the virus getting into the island. And there's no cabins on the, as far as I'm aware, there's no cabins on the sea cat. So
no, there's not. No. They're just those two lounges upstairs, aren't they?
That's it. Yep. So you're all lumped together on the sea cat. And that will be for at least a fortnight while the Ben is in, having her, again, rightfully been checked over and serviced.
Okay, Howard. All right. Thanks for that.
Well,
that's certainly a point to consider. Well, the point is that the Sea Cat, the Madanan's fast craft season, has been delayed. The Ben McCree will continue to operate the freight and passenger service between Douglas and Heysham. Obviously, because of the closure of the Manx borders, Madanan won't start her seasonal service. She was due to start on Thursday, 25th. Of March. Ben McCree services to and from Heysham continue. Madanan and Arrow will cover during the Ben McCree's overhaul period, which is mid-April. It's going to be, if you're booked on Madanan sailings up to the 25th of May, you'll be contacted and offered a full refund and a transfer to Heysham services as appropriate. The Fastcraft sailing schedules will remain under regular review. Underscoring this, as Howard quite rightly said, there's virtually nobody would travel on the Fastcraft service, and it does cost a fortune to run the Sea Cat, the Fastcraft, compared to the Ben McCree, which runs on kind of low-level marine diesel, whereas the Sea Cat uses a lot of very expensive. So those sailings that happened last summer were really just money going down the drain, really. But we'll see what happens with that, but just be aware of that. And that's a question for us. What about the crew that took the Sea Cat over there? Here's Les now. Hello, Les.
Hi, Andy. Was on the phone yesterday about getting taxi drivers prioritised for the vaccine.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I thought there was nothing said about getting the vaccine, but according to the Unite Union, they've been in touch, and taxi drivers are not high risk. Don't know how, but we're in a confined space. And, I mean, I believe the police have been on asking for their officers to get prioritised.
And is it still the same rules, Les, that you have to sanitise the interior of the taxi before you get a passenger?
Yes. Every time we take them for a COVID test or pick up from the airport, got to take the car off, totally wipe it down, and then wait for it to dry slightly and then go back to work.
So how do you feel about this, Les?
Well, to be honest, the way it's in the community now, you don't know who you're picking up or if they've got it or, you know, it's just putting us all at risk.
And when you get a passenger, when you do a pickup, Les, does the passenger sit in the front or the back in your cab?
In the back.
Okay, so you will have a passenger, and let's say the longest journey maybe to the airport, or let's say 20 minutes, they can be sitting in the back, breathing all over you.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have protocol where we have to open up the back windows, keep the front ones closed so it goes out the back, but generally there's no talking, which is a good thing in a way. And then once I drop them off, open up the car, wipe everything down with sanitizer, wipes, everything.
And do you insist that they wear a face covering?
Yes.
And do you wear a face covering all the time, Les?
Yes. And gloves.
So, Les, how do you... I mean, we talked yesterday and you said there's not much trade around anyway at the moment. Are you hooked into the government system for getting money?
No, not at the moment. I've applied for it, but whether I get it or not is another thing.
And did you get the self-employed money last time?
Yes, I did.
Again, I don't want to pry, but I will. How much was that compared to how much you normally earn, just in terms of percentages?
It was low.
50%?
Yeah.
And how long can you go on like this, Les?
Whatever savings I did have is gone, to be honest.
Are you managing to get by?
Only just. I mean, if it keeps on going, then probably have to ask for help, but it's everybody's in the same predicament. We've just got to get through this and prioritising taxis so that it can take people to and from the shops or whatever, you know, getting essential stuff.
Have you got any sort of appointment for a vaccination?
No. I'm only 55.
Oh, I see. Yes, you're down the list, aren't you?
Yeah.
Les, we wish you well. And thanks for contacting us today. Just another situation on the Isle of Man, another tale and another story about this third lockdown. Here's David with us now on The Man in Line. Hello, David.
Good afternoon, Andy. A question that I'd like to know from the government is how many people that have been in isolation on day 15 have tested positive for COVID? Because all these little low-risk venues not so long ago, and people had one test. Was anybody else tested after that initial first test, either a few days later or 12, 13 days later, to see, was it in the community?
What do you think, David?
Well, it's got to have come from somewhere, and I think there's been quite a few people that have, like, roughly after a week or whatever, may not show the symptoms. Lots of people walking around asymptomatic, and then now the children have got it, and it's the 10th variant. Obviously, we know it's all the worst. And I can't believe as soon as the schools, that children was involved, that they didn't stop the school, because they all know that children don't show symptoms, or 99.9% of them don't show symptoms, but they're spreaders. Now, for us to get word 7.5 hours after the briefing, they must have knew something was coming. And I wouldn't be surprised if the figures from yesterday haven't doubled up to last night. We're keeping just one set a year out of school. Kids get on the same buses, go to different schools. I think the government have done a brilliant job, but this time I think they've just not had the normal common sense to think, hang on, Dr. Henry Ewart keeps saying that it's a moment in time. Well, all them moment in times from 1886 and everywhere else, and now they're only reporting on high risk. Well, at the end of the day, them low risk places have actually been high risk places. Do you know what I mean?
I do, David. And that's an important point. And thanks for making that as well. Lots of low risks can certainly add up. Thank you for that. I want to go to Mike with us now. Hello, Mike.
How you doing, Andy? You all right?
Good. This is Mike from the taxi drivers, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm secretary for the Unite taxi branch on the Isle of Man. I just wanted to follow up a little bit on what Les was saying before and just give you the background on this. About 5 to 6 weeks ago, I wrote to David Ashford. I emailed him. He's not only the health minister, he's actually my local MHK. And my question was a simple one. It was, how come that the minibus drivers that work for Bus Van and that do the airport transfers for the patient transfers have been vaccinated, and yet the taxi drivers haven't been offered vaccinations. So the first thing David got back to me with it was he wasn't aware that the minibus drivers had been vaccinated, and then he corrected himself and he said he'd looked into it, they have, right? He said the difference is, he said, they're high risk because they push wheelchairs from the airport into the back of the minibuses and they load the passengers into the bus. The taxi drivers aren't high risk because they're not in that much close contact with the passengers. So I said, well, that's not the truth. I said, if we get elderly passengers that are coming back in that can't get into a minibus and they have to use a taxi, they've been away to Liverpool for treatment, or they might have just been to see family over Christmas or whatever, we have to help them, even though we're not particularly meant to lift their luggage, etc., etc. There are cases where you've got to say, okay, she can't carry her own suitcase, she needs help into the vehicle, and you have to help her. So we do have close contact with those people. That was the first thing that I said to him. And the second thing I said to him, if the minibus drivers have been vaccinated, to my knowledge, the airport ground staff that push the wheelchairs off the planes and bring them to the minibuses, they haven't been vaccinated. Could this be because they are a subcontracting firm and that the minibus drivers actually work for a government department? That was the question that I put. I didn't get an answer on that. Now, what we have to say is, this isn't David Ashford's department, of course. Public health make these decisions, and public health is part of the Cabinet Office. So I'm not throwing the book back at David Ashford, but it has to be said. I mean, I went public a few weeks ago and I did an interview for Paul Moulton. Now, there's been taxi drivers that have had COVID positive people in their taxis. They've took them for tests and they've turned out positive. Now, I was actually one of those drivers. Now, public health didn't even bother to contact me after I'd had the passenger in the car. There was no contact tracing done. The customer contacted me directly and informed me directly, and I waited for public health, and public health didn't even make the phone call. And when I chased that one up, I was told by David Ashford, who obviously is only relaying the messages here, I'm not having a go at David in any way, but the comment from public health was they were able to ascertain that I was low risk from what the customer who had tested positive had told them when they interviewed them or when they rang up. And I said, well, they can ascertain from the customer that I may have followed the protocols whilst the customer was in the car, but they can't ascertain whether I cleaned the car after the customer got out of the car. And the other thing was as well, we were COVID-free at that time. I said, if I come down with a cold and I'm living on a COVID-free Isle of Man, then I think it's a cold. If I come down with a cold and I know I've had somebody who's tested positive for COVID in the car, then I ring 111 because I don't want to put myself at risk or the public at risk and I get myself tested. So we need to know those things. So there's a few things that are sort of missing in the background. But we would have liked vaccinations for the drivers that were at least doing the COVID test runs and the airport transfers. And I offered that in an email to organise teams from each of the taxi firms that were willing to do those runs to be vaccinated.
How many taxi drivers would we be talking about if that were the case?
Well, I can only talk about the service provider that I work for. Most of the drivers are not willing to do the COVID runs or the airport runs because of the risk proposed to them. I do them. Now, the taxi base that I work for, the service provider, I think has currently 6 people that are willing to do those transfers and those COVID test runs. And I would imagine if you looked at the other 2 big service providers in Douglas, it would be similar. The smaller providers outside of Douglas and the independent drivers, it would be individual decisions there. But you might be looking at 20 people within the Douglas area, and then up the north of the island, whatever, you've got Terry's taxis down the west, you've got island taxis on the west coast, you've got operators up the north, etc., etc.
Do you think taxi drivers should be moved up the list as a priority, though, Mike?
Well, I do. I mean, you've got to look at the steam packet. We had Chris Robertshaw in Tynwald a few weeks ago fighting the case for the steam packet, saying that they should be vaccinated, right? Now, the government turned round to Chris Robertshaw and said, no, there's low risk, they don't need vaccinations, yeah? What happened there? Now, if one of us caught it unknowingly, and started spreading it around the community. I'll leave this in the room before I go. If one of us started spreading it around the community, how quick do you think all the taxi drivers would be vaccinated, just like the steam packet crews were?
Okay. Mike, thanks for being with us today. Appreciate your point of view as well. Let's move to police now. The chief constable of the Isle of Man says he's sad and disappointed. This is the chief copper. The chief constable is sad and disappointed that police officers haven't been moved up the priority list for the coronavirus vaccine. Gary Roberts says policing at a distance simply isn't on. It's not possible. And it would only take one incident with COVID-19 to leave the constabulary short-staffed. He's had talks with the Home Affairs Minister, Mr. Cregeen, and the Department of Health and Social Care in a bid to get officers on the front line vaccinated.
The important point to make about policing, though, is policing isn't a thing you can do at distance. So policing does require police officers to be in people's personal space. And that poses a big threat. And I worry a lot about the exposure of my officers to the virus. We're clearly not considered a priority in terms of vaccination, which I find sad and disappointing, albeit I understand the explanation that the DHSC minister gave at the press conference the other day. But my officers are routinely exposed to risk, and we arrest people who are infected. We have people in custody who may be infected, and as I say, it is difficult to police at a distance.
Is that something you've been speaking to government about then, the vaccine priority? You would obviously like to see your officers protected.
I've not spoken publicly about vaccine priorities before. I have made attempts via the Minister for Home Affairs to have the batting order changed. I have long held the view that the government here is obliged to follow the JCVI guidance, and the rules that are set by the JCVI mean that police officers come near the top of the second wave of vaccinations, which is fine, and it's certainly been fine here when there wasn't virus in the community. However, once those protocols have changed, I understand that they have changed now because we've vaccinated steam packet staff, and I note also that staff who look after teenagers who are in care have been vaccinated. My officers haven't, so my last attempt to have it changed was last week, and that failed. I'm disappointed. I understand the rationale, but I'll reiterate the point I've made a couple of times. We cannot police from a distance, and the issue isn't about the likelihood of officers becoming very ill because they've got the virus, because most of the patrol officers are very young. The issue instead is about the resilience of the organisation, and it would only take one incident, perhaps, where five or six officers were at a scene for there to be quite a significant impact on the service. So my service could fall over very quickly if a significant number of officers were infected.
This is the Isle of Man talking, the man in line.
Good afternoon. 36 new cases of COVID-19 detected in the Isle of Man as at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. 18 of the cases, close contacts in existing clusters who are already in self-isolation. 18 cases remaining currently unexplained with no immediate link to existing clusters as well. So 106 cases. The Bridge Inn in Laxey is now identified as a high-risk location. If you're at the Bridge Inn in Laxey for more than 15 minutes last Saturday, you must immediately self-isolate, and so must everyone who lives with you.
A&B Metals. Gates and railings, balustrades, structural steel, it's our game. Come to the A&B Metals crew, there is nothing we can't do. A&B Metals know the rules, we've all been to metal school. All our teams are skilled to use all the metal working tools.
A&B Metals, for the biggest ranging stock of structural steel and cladding for collection or delivery. Talk to the steel experts today.
Call 623-918-A&B Metals.
We're sorry that Ramsey Art Gallery Jewellers and Engravers are closed at the moment.
Just when you were going to call in for a gift for a special occasion.
Don't worry, we can still supply you from our fabulous range of gold and silver jewellery and top brand watches.
And don't forget our extensive range of gifts with personalised engraving available too.
Ramsey Art Gallery is adhering to all government COVID advice and guidelines.
But you can still purchase from us private messages on our Facebook page. Call 815589 or see ramseyartgallery.com.
At Advocate Smith Torbitts Unsworth Limited, we appreciate the challenging situation the world and our island is facing with COVID-19. We deal with all types of dispute before the courts, from debts and personal injury to professional negligence, criminal and family. For now, we're asking all our clients to only attend our office if you have a pre-booked appointment. But please, if you need us, call Advocate Smith Torbitts Unsworth Limited today. on 67788 or email reception@advocates.co.in.
You're listening to Carnaby Street.
All courtesy of the Isle of Man Railway's time train.
Did you meet the Rolling Stones, Twiggy or Mary Quant? Do you remember tipped weights, opal fruits or jamboree bags? Did you listen to the latest pop record on Radio Caroline North or Radio Luxembourg? Well, whether the answer is yes or no, Carnaby Street puts you right at the heart of the sights, sounds and atmosphere of one of the most influential periods of social history, the 1960s. Jump on board the time train with Isle of Man Railways and me, Chris Williams, every Saturday morning from 8:30.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
28 minutes before one, Friday lunchtime on Manx Radio. It's day three of lockdown three. Martin's with us. Hello, Martin.
Yes, good afternoon to you.
Okay, what's on your mind, Martin?
Really, it's I've been very impressed with how government has really been handling the COVID situation in the early days. Although with all the recent communication that's been going on, it really seems as though the strategy is beginning to creak a little bit. I mean, it's fine having an objective that we have to minimise transmission, which is exactly the right thing to do, which we consistently hear from the health minister. And yet, if you think of the way that transmission occurs, which is basically coming into the island, so within that there's the airlines and then also the Manx steam packet. It's fine saying we have policies in place, but really those policies were not being policed and were not being checked. So I go back to the steam packet. They were relying on people to self-isolate or to follow the protocols. Well, any good strategy doesn't rely. You actually have to police it. And if you're not policing it, your strategy is not being effectively followed. And then you go on to the police situation. The police are at the front line. They're the ones who are going to stop the transmission by people who are breaking those rules and regulations. And yet they should be injected, inoculated, or whatever the term is. So I'm beginning to get rather concerned that the strategies that they have in place are creaking, and I think it's time they take stock and re-look at what they're seeking to achieve here.
Do you think, Martin, this is because of the mutation, the different variants of the virus, the disease is obviously... Do you think we've been left a bit flat-footed by this?
Well, I think they've probably been known the different mutations, but whichever mutation it is, it's still going to be transmitted from person to person. So surely the strategies must be to cease that contact person to person. You can't do everything. But, I mean, I do go back to the steam packet, not because it's just that issue, but there were no effective tracking policies or procedures in place to try and make sure the strategy was effective. And I think you should ask government to look at all aspects of the strategy it's following and saying, you know, am I confident that my procedures are in place can minimise that? Now, they will say yes, obviously, but I would suggest, given current evidence, that the answer is no.
So where now? What to do?
Really, let's go back and let's start making sure that what we're asking people to do is being policed as effectively as we can be. They can't do everything all the time. That would be totally unrealistic. But what I would call the big ticket items, like the police to ensure compliance, like steam packet is still following the new procedures put down, like airlines are following procedures that are being put down, minimising contact internally, those are the key elements, surely, that is going to stop the transmission.
Have you been vaccinated yet, Martin?
No, I'm due to go next week, and I have to say the old 1-1-1 line, which I know got a bit of aggravation yesterday, is absolutely superb. I mean, they are doing a tremendous job under very, very difficult conditions. Once again, you know, you should never blame the people on the front line. It's always the idiots above them are the ones that cause the problem.
Okay. All right. Appreciate your call, Martin. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Good to talk to you. Here's Anne with us now on the Man in Line. Hello, Anne.
Hello. I'd just like to make a few points about your previous callers. This here now is more concerning because it's on a wider scale. However, now the steam packet have got something in place that they're testing their workers before they join for work and when they leave work. This could all be simplified if you treated everybody as a frontline worker, the bus drivers who always get forgotten, you've got the police, you've got taxi drivers, and you've got the immediate people who are in contact with the public who are vulnerable, who are travelling backwards and forwards to hospital. The way I see it is stop the spread, encourage people to stay at home and test the frontline workers. That there will eradicate anything from going forward. We've also got to protect the people who are the people that come home from work into vulnerable families.
Obviously, the strategy is to eliminate the virus. That's always been the strategy, but also getting people vaccinated quickly as possible. How do you think the vaccination strategy has been handled, Anne?
I think it's very, very good, but at the same turn, you're listening to everybody who feels that they should be up in the front line. I believe that police officers and bus drivers and taxi drivers and anybody associated with people who are travelling to and from hospital, get them all vaccinated. They're the people that should be protected, because if we know then that they're protected, encourage people to stay at home, this here could all be over within 3 weeks.
Anne, how do you feel about it, emotionally about it? How do you think we're handling this third lockdown?
Well, I think a lot of criticism comes because the government weren't sure what to do last weekend. Instead of just locking down straight away, by the time they did decide to lock down, it had already got out into the community.
Well, there was a sense of that everybody had made their mind up last Saturday when the government said, you know, we advise you not to do it and we'd like you not to do it. Do you think they should have said it there and then?
I think so. But then you'll always have the people who will risk their lives and go out and be selfish for others.
Well, that's another story, Anne. OK, thanks for being with us.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you, Anne. And John with us on The Man in Line. Hello, John.
Oh, hi, Andy.
Yes, you're live on the air, John.
Yeah, all right, Andy. No, what it is, two things, actually. Number one, the taxi drivers. Now, I can understand their concern. The thing is, you see, they're going to pick up patients. They're going to pick up people leaving the airport, the steam packet. Well, they're all fully equipped, PPE. When they've done the job, new mask, new gloves, taxi cab cleaned out, spotless. For all intents and purposes, if they play it by the book, they will not get the virus. Number one. Number two, the police. Now, there's a clear protocol in place. I think the government now are at level four. So if any of the chief constables, police officers, are level four, they will be vaccinated in the coming weeks. If they're high risk, which they'll be vaccinated. And as for operational issues, if any of the officers get the virus, I think there's more than enough special constables in place. I think there's over 60 to fill the gap of any sickness. So I think now we're reaching a point where people are starting to panic, the police as well. And it's he who shouts the loudest. I think we've got to stick to the rules on this one. Get the people who are vaccinated, who are at risk, which is level four now, and go from there. I think panic is starting to set in a lot of departments.
Okay. All right, John, appreciate your call. Thanks for being with us today. I want to go to Bruce now. Hello, Bruce.
Hello, Andy.
Yes, Bruce, you're live on the air.
Hi, Andy. I'd just like to say that I know just now the main sort of aim is to get this problem sorted out and get us back to a good place where we used to be. However, what I wanted to say was that everybody that had been over to the UK returning to the island that were supposed to self-isolate, I believe that they were supposed to be checked up on, maybe not everybody, but a good percentage, were supposed to be checked up on by either the police, civil defence, or even a phone call to their address to make sure they were at the address they're supposed to be self-isolating. So what I'm saying is, if the steam packet personnel, and I'm not blaming them at all, I'm totally blaming the government and the system on this one, if the steam packet personnel had misunderstood the direction, surely in all that period of time and the amount of crew that's there, like if a police officer turned up at the door and said, OK, we're just checking you self-isolating, that person would say, oh, I don't have to self-isolate. And then the officer could pass it up the chain saying this guy thinks he doesn't have to self-isolate. Or if he wasn't at his address, the officer could pass up the chain and say the guy's not his address. So the reason we're in this situation now is because the job wasn't done right in the first place.
Well, something's going to come out of this, and the government said there's going to be an inquiry. Whether it's independent or not, we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, I don't believe in the blame game at this moment in time. Let's just put all the effort into getting the problem sorted out and get us back to a good place. But eventually, somebody needs to sort of stand up and, you know, be big enough to admit that there was mistakes made. We all make mistakes. But another thing I wanted to say as well was, if you think about anybody else previous to that that had been caught breaking any of the COVID rules because they weren't self-isolating and they'd gone to prison, I'd be turning around and saying, I want to get a slizzer onto this, saying, hang on, I didn't understand the rules, but you put me to prison. They didn't understand the rules, but you let them off. So, you know, it's one rule for one and one rule for the other.
Interesting as well, yeah, Bruce, because when you look at any maritime operation, all maritime operations have protocols and rules that people's lives depend on. And you just think that if there was a protocol in place from last year, how come nobody noticed there was a disparity?
This is what I'm saying. Why has it gone on for so long and nobody's ever caught up on it? I mean, I work offshore on vessels as well. And when I do 6-week tours, even when we go into port, you're paid to be on that vessel 24 hours a day for the 6 weeks you're on the job. And you're 12 hours on, you're 12 hours off. So you shouldn't, if you're on a shift for a week on the steam packet, even if you're coming back to port, you shouldn't be leaving the vessel and going home anyway. The reason why you get paid week on, week off is because you're on full time for that week you're working, and then you have the benefit of having the whole week off when you're not on shift.
Okay, Bruce, thanks for being with us today.
Okay, thank you, Andy.
All right, good to talk to you now. And Roger joins us. Hello, Roger.
Good afternoon, Andy. Andy, I just want to reiterate, I called yesterday and just pointed out, in my view, the accountability of either the landlord or landlady of the pub in Laxey. I think it was the Bridge. But this time yesterday, it was a low risk, and just anybody that encountered symptoms was advised to contact 111. Now, within 12 hours, that's gone from low risk to high risk, and it's now anybody that was in that pub between, I think, 8 o'clock and 1 a.m. for more than 15 minutes. So it's just an indication how one person's decision to go against advice has put an impact on the increase of community, on the numbers of the virus within the community. And what concerns me is how and why it's gone within a few hours from low risk to high risk. And in my mind, I'm sure we may find out some reasons at 4 o'clock this afternoon, but it is so scary, and just how important it is to follow advice, whether it's legal, official or otherwise.
And also, I think certain people are now learning the definition of the word consequences.
Certainly, yeah, you're right there. I'm just a bit too late, I fear, but yeah, it's just something that's played on my mind. And I emphasise, I do not know. I've never been in the pub in Laxey. I do not know the landlady or landlord. No axe to grind with them, apart from whoever it is, their decision to open. This was completely, that was an area that was completely avoidable. It didn't need to happen at all.
Okay. All right, Roger, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, take care.
It's 12:45 on Manx Radio, the man in line on Manx Radio. Well, we've heard Dr. Hewitt many times say to us, human beings are masters at justifying things to themselves. Well, let's see where we are. 4 o'clock this afternoon on Manx Radio Live, there'll be a government media briefing, the latest on the COVID-19 situation on the Isle of Man. Things are not getting better in this situation at the moment. We have a family member, some techs in now. We've got a family member who's a funeral director, although classed as a key worker, haven't been offered vaccines and are often in close contact with people coming up from the UK in a very sensitive profession, is the funeral director as well. Neither of them, this is Chris in Ramsey, just said regarding taxis, neither of the people mentioned that Mr. Baker wanting to give our taxi drivers another kick in the teeth by calling for the Office of Fair Trading to speed up its inquiry and decision into allowing yet more loss-making minibuses onto the burgeoning bus fleet as well. When did anyone see the minibuses or indeed the double or single deckers even half full? Says Chris in Ramsey.
Just hop on board with Toys R Us, man, for the best holiday you could ever plan.
For a great variety of exciting mini breaks, Tours Isle of Man offer coach tours that take you to some of the island's best-kept secrets. For a full day out or for overnight staycations, we have a great variety on offer. View all our trips online or find us on Facebook.
Visit tours.co.im.
During the new circuit breaker lockdown, Haldane Fisher are still open to the trade with full precautions in place for everyone's safety. Remember to wear your mask and follow all site rules. We'll also be offering a call and collect service to the general public for essential requirements only. Call our Douglas branch on 62 4466 or Ramsey on 815 441. Haldane Fisher, still here for you. So let's all stay safe.
Employers, having trouble with staff and need reliable advice? Employees, are you treated fairly in the workplace or do you have a grievance?
The workplace can be problematic on both sides. For any work-related legal issue, contact the employment law experts, Mann Benham. They advise employers and staff on all work-related problems with sound professional advice and a transparent fee policy. To arrange your free consultation at Mann Benham, call today on 639 350.
Mann Benham, here for you.
Corkill Removals and Storage today. Loads big and small day after day. We'll help you move, we'll help you pack. With a local or global, we've got the knack. So give us a cheer.
Yay!
Your movers are here.
They do it right.
As well as moving locally, nationally or internationally, we have storage solutions from as little as £12 per week. Call
675-495. We'll get your load delivered on time. You can be sure we'll get the job done. Click corkillremovals.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
12 minutes before one. Jill, hello, Jill.
Hello, how are you?
Well, I'm batting third place at the moment.
No, I'd just like to say, I understand people have personal problems and, you know, issues, but I would like to actually say thank you to our government for keeping us safe. We had 8 months of being, you know, very sociable, and I don't think anybody's thanked them. And it is a thing that we've never endured entirely in our lives. And credit where credit's due, and I understand, you know, people obviously have personal things. But I'd like to say, as a Manx woman, thank you very much.
Well, you're quite right. Nobody's been in this position ever before, I don't think.
No, because I'm not that old.
Well, I mean, everybody's talking about, you know, it being like a war and like World War II and what have you. And, you know, the thing is, we don't have aeroplanes flying over with bombs on them, but we do have a virus. We don't quite know where it is. And everybody's in this together. So it is a one-off, and it's affecting different people in different ways, Jill.
I think you're completely right. But I would like to, actually, I wouldn't want to be in the Chief Minister's position, and nobody would want me to be there either. But I would like to say thank you very much for looking after us, and a bit of positive, you know, be positive, and just thank you, and thank you for listening to me.
Oh, bless you, Jill. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, take care.
All right. Look at that time. It's 10 to 1. It's Friday lunchtime on Max Radio. Dick said it's probably my age. But Dr. Allinson said very clearly that they're getting hourly updates on the COVID-19 figures. The health minister also said clearly they're getting figures once a day, a snapshot, he says, as well. So is it hourly or is it daily? Well, I would imagine they're getting a mixture of both, but they'll know. Notice in that just said lots and lots of cases. The chief minister said there are going to be more cases coming. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And we should prepare ourselves for the... I'm preparing myself for the worst, says Danny. Genome sequencing has confirmed that this virus has come from one person. Ooh, how'd you know that? That anonymous texter in that says, government business payments, as you said, less than 50% of the normal wage, speaking as one person, self-employed business. The Mananan's in dock at Birkenhead now, by the way. If you want to go to Sea Scanner or go to the Isle of Man Steam Packet website, the Mananan is in Birkenhead. All the good people on the front line, some at great risk as well, so we wish them well. The 440 people confirmed past cases all recovered, says B. The majority of people recover from COVID-19. We have to remember this. Police, teachers, vaccinate everyone who works out in a normal day serviced as soon as possible. Then we have to live with it. Everyone talks as though it kills everyone that gets it. The majority recover within 2 weeks. So we should retain some perspective, said this correspondent as well. And Gary just said, it seems to me like some people aren't taking this seriously. When the government said close on Saturday, as things were getting bad, some pubs stayed open. Well, maybe those pubs should be boycotted for their actions. Gary's words, not mine. Just a note about the money. Somebody just said, can you reiterate what's the money that people qualify for? There's a coronavirus business support scheme, the CBSS circuit break, which is open for applications now. The coronavirus business support scheme's been reopened to support businesses or self-employed people who have regular business overheads of £250 or more per month as well. And also the free school meal voucher has been reintroduced as well. And a quick word also about the debt counselling service, which has been maintained as well. If you want more information, the debt counselling service is on 686 500. 686 500. If you find yourself in financial difficulty, you're reminded that this confidential debt counselling service is available to you during the island's second lockdown. So just be aware of that, and they'll be taking calls. If you can put your own feelings to one side, if you're looking at your financial situation and you're going to come to some sort of crunch point, then give them a call, 686 500, and just talk things through with them as well. So lots of messages. It's a disgrace how nobody's being held to account and been put before a court for the steam packet fiasco, which has put the island into lockdown as well and infected more people, hospitalised people. People have been locked up for being in their friend's house or even stopping for petrol, getting off the boat. Double standards as well. Somebody in government has been negligent. And Steve said, this is a fiasco. The whole steam packet situation is a fiasco as well. A message in from the Fastcraft. Lots of people telling me where the Fastcraft is. It's in Birkenhead as well. Steam packet variants getting out of hand. 111 services days behind. I don't think it's fit for purpose. Well, they're saying don't call for vaccinations. Call from Saturday. I don't blame the staff, but the government has kind of let the island down where this is concerned, says this anonymous correspondent. Time for resignations. Well, depends where you stand on the blame game. Is the blame game appropriate now, or should we just get out of this?
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
What's being done to ensure standardised remote learning across the island schools? A message in from George. My child's school just doing 30-minute informal Teams call per day with access to a range of activities on the It's Learning Hub. There's no remote teaching being done, no set tasks, just a free-for-all pick up from what's on the portal. How is this a coordinated approach and a proper structure for their education? You didn't tell me which school it was, George. If you could, that'd be great. I'm over 75, says Brenda. Still no letter. I'm going round in circles trying to get an answer. I spoke to my GP today and hopefully they'll pass on my details. My concern is how much longer I wait to hear. They didn't seem aware of the problem until you raised it with the minister. Yes, Mr. Ashford said today it was the system that's in the GPs. The GPs have asked us to clarify. It's not the GP system. It's the system that's put in the GPs by the DHSC. So that disconnect and the reason that some people weren't getting their letters isn't the GP's fault. It's the system that's been put in the GPs by the DHSC. Welcome to Acronym City on The Man in Line. And thanks for calling today. Thanks for being with me. Now, there's a meeting. There is a COVID-19 briefing this afternoon at 4 o'clock. You'll hear it, of course, live on Manx Radio. We've always carried them live since nearly a year ago. Live on AM and FM, online, on Facebook, and on our YouTube channel. Tune in for that. Tune in tonight for update at 5:30 for a digest of what's been going on the Isle of Man. Thanks to studio producer today, Barry Redfern. Man in Line will be back with you Monday, 12 midday on Manx Radio. In the meantime, you can email maninline@manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682-631. Have a good weekend. You stay safe.